All right. Well, as I said, this is the third message on, as you can tell, Proverbs has a lot to say about what you say. And we've looked at saying the wise thing. We've looked at saying the right thing. And now we're going to look at the tail end of that, which is saying the wrong thing. And this is what we want to avoid. And there are a number of passages that have to do with saying the wrong thing. And so you know and I can identify what is the right thing to say as well as what is the wrong thing to say, and so that you can correct that. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more as well. So saying the wrong thing. First one that we're to be careful about and make sure that we don't say the wrong thing is using flattery. Flattery, of course, is saying flowery things about somebody when you don't really mean them. Or even it's a form of lying, because you're not only your intent but also the content of what you're saying is exaggerated at best and inaccurate at worst, and flat out lying. So we want to avoid flattery. And the reasons we want to do that are found here in these passages. Flattery is wrong because, again, it is lying. Verse 28 of chapter 26 says, "A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin." So, again, this flattering, it's a parallel construction here, the first part and the second part, so you get a fuller picture of what they're talking about. And so a flattering mouth is a lying tongue as well. Both of those things are parallel to each other. And so flattery is basically lying. You know, when you say, "Oh, you did such a great job," and somebody really didn't do such a great job, that's a form of just lying to somebody, and you're building them up for wrong purposes. So we want to be careful about that, because it can crush a person. And this is the reason why we don't want to flatter somebody. It does hurt somebody in the end when they find out that they can't really do what you have built them up to do. If you've ever watched any of these singing competitions, some of them, they have, especially when they open it up to everybody or anybody that comes in, you know, sometimes some of these people come in and they can't sing at all. And it's horrible. The worst thing that you could do is tell them, "Oh, that was great. You have a great singing voice. You really need to pursue a singing career." That's flattery, okay? You don't want to do that, because when they find out later on that they have absolutely no chance of having a singing career because their voice is horrible, it's going to crush them. And we don't want that to happen. So flattery is also wrong because it is temporary. You might get a temporary boost in somebody by flattering them and making them feel good. And a lot of times we can have that motive behind it, that we just want to help make somebody feel good. And we're all about making people feel good these days, building up their self-esteem or whatever it might be. But if it's not accurate, if it's not true, then it's just a temporary building up. And again, it will lead to a letdown. Proverbs 28:23 says, "He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with a tongue." So it's a temporary thing, a temporary fix. But it is better to rebuke somebody who is doing something that is wrong or doing something that is not good, even though it's harder to do that. Nobody wants to be the guy that says, to a singer that is just up there singing and they just are totally off key and horrible singer, to say to them, "You know, you really ought to find something else to do." Nobody wants to be that person. That rebuke is hard to hear and hard to listen to. But in the end, you will find more favor for that than you will for just flattering them and leading them on, because it is lying to them. And so we want to be careful with how we use our tongues and make sure that we don't just flatter somebody for purposes like that. Flattery is also wrong because it is deceptive. It is a lie, and because of that, it is deceptive. A man who flatters, Proverbs 29:5, who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. You need to watch out. If somebody is flattering you, and you can flip it around for this part, what if somebody's flattering you? What can you expect? You can realize then that you know that they are lying to get something from you. They want something out of this. They're spreading a net for your steps, in other words. They're trying to, they're going to get something out of this. So beware of that flattery. Beware of those lies, and especially to extend our illustration here. If you are a horrible singer and somebody tells you that you're a great singer, you know that there's something wrong there and that you better keep your eye on that person who is flattering you. So be careful, because they're spreading a net for your steps. There's going to be a problem at some point, so be careful. The second grouping here is slander and gossip. So flattery is the first wrong thing to say, but slander and gossip is the next thing. And this is one of those, unfortunately, one of those acceptable sins within Christianity a lot of times. It shouldn't be, but oftentimes it can be. What do I mean by acceptable sins? Well, it's one of those sins that Christians don't pay attention much to, and they think it allows it to creep in, and it's okay. In their mind, they're thinking that. They justify it and say, it's okay. You know, we're going to gossip about somebody, but we're gonna veil it in a disguise of, let's pray for so-and-so, because did you hear the latest of what they did? That's gossip. That's a problem. And we want to be able to avoid that. Chapter 10, verse 18 says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Again, there's parallel ideas here that makes the whole idea more clear. This concealing of hatred as lying lips, it's a lie. That's what gossip is. It is lying, essentially. And so they're concealing some sort of hatred for that person. Now it might not be a seething hatred, but it's not a good thing, and not a relationship building attitude towards somebody. But it is something that is eventually going to bring problems within the relationship. So, and the person who spreads that kind of slander is foolish. And is a fool. So slander in this verse is evil report or a rumor specifically. So you have somebody saying something that might be true and might be somewhat false. But even if it is true, the underlying report of it is you want to hurt that person by sharing this information. So you know something about somebody and you want to hurt them. And so you're going to share this and spread it as far as you possibly can, because you know that it hurts them. So it might also be a rumor. And rumors, of course, might be based in some sort of fact, but usually include errors along with it, or conjecture or anything like that. You just don't know for sure. And so because you haven't confirmed it, you're going to spread it anyway, and that causes a lot of problems. Rumors can cause just a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble, especially within relationships. So we need to be able to avoid all of those things. And here in this passage, again, hatred together with slander is a dangerous combination. It is a telltale sign of a person who does not fear God. They have hatred in their hearts for somebody, and therefore they're going to spread slander, they're going to spread rumors or an evil report about somebody, and that is a telltale sign of a fool. So we want to be able to avoid using our tongues in this way. Proverbs 11:12-13 talks about this some more. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. In other words, they might despise their neighbor, and because of that, they're going to spread rumors about that person, anything that they might hear, whether they know that to be true or not. And by the way, how do you confirm whether something is true? In the scriptures. Remember? except on the basis of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Okay? So, you know, when you're trying to decide whether you should say something or pass something along, you need to ask yourself some questions. Okay? Is this true? Well, how do I know it's true? Well, have I talked to that person specifically and found out from them whether it is true? Or have I found at least two or three other witnesses that can confirm that this thing is true? Okay? That's how you confirm that fact. But even after that, once you've confirmed, let's say it is true, but you know that is going to, if you spread this truth, it's going to hurt somebody. The intent behind it is if you're going to share it, it's going to hurt somebody. So a man of understanding keeps silent. Even though he knows something might be true, or probably is true, they're going to keep silent about it, a man of understanding will, because they know that is going to hurt somebody as a result. So we want to be careful not to do that. Rumors, again, and gossip and that sort of thing are very, very hurtful and cause a lot of problems. Verse 13 continues this. It says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." And here's that same idea of concealing, that wise person, that understanding person will be silent or conceal that problem. A talebearer, by the way, is an informer, one who attempts to destroy someone's character by the use of slander. Again, we want to be extremely careful about the way that we use our tongue. Make sure that what we have to say is first truthful and confirmed, and second is going to be helpful to that person rather than hurtful towards them. Okay? So these are the filters that you go through when you're trying to decide whether you're going to say something or not. If you just heard a juicy piece of gossip, or somebody just told you something and you're like, "Oh, wow, should I share this with other people?" Well, go through those filters. Is it true? Can it be confirmed? And is it helpful or hurtful to the person that it's about? And if you follow that filter, you'll be a lot better off. It's better to conceal the matter than to share it. All right. Proverbs 16:28 continues with the same idea. "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." And here we see, again, the product of this type of speech is that it separates intimate friends. You're going to have problems in a relationship. The product of slander destroys relationships. If you value your friends, don't talk about them behind their backs. Don't spread rumors about them. Don't say things that are untrue about them. And even if they are true, don't spread them if they're going to hurt somebody. Go ahead and keep it to yourself. You will preserve your friendship as a result. So only a perverse person spreads all kinds of strife. And the world is, you get out there and you can see this all of the time. People spreading rumors about each other, slandering somebody, and it causes a lot of division, it causes a lot of strife, it separates friends, it becomes very, very difficult. So, Proverbs 17:9, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." What does it mean by repeats a matter? What's he talking about there? Well, repeating a matter, it means that you're telling the story over again. You're sharing it or spreading it to somebody else. You heard something and you're going to repeat it to somebody else. And you're going to tell everyone the story about your friend's failure. But he who conceals a transgression is seeking love. If you're a true friend and you're trying to, you find out that your friend messed up, you did something they shouldn't have done, do you go around and tell everybody about their failure and what they did that was wrong? No. If you're a true friend, you're seeking to love that person, you're going to keep it quiet. You're not going to share that. And that is the basis even of church discipline. Church discipline is, as Jesus taught it in Matthew, is that you start off with just one-on-one. Somebody sins against you. they transgressed against you, what do? Jesus says, you go to that person individually, just to that person. Now, in most cases, what do people normally do? Somebody transgresses hurts them or transgresses against them, sins against them. The first thing that they do is tell everybody else but the person who hurt them. That is a problem. You definitely don't want to do that. Jesus says, no, you go directly to the person who hurt you and you confront them about it. And if you win your brother, praise the Lord. That's great. If you don't win your brother and they refuse to repent as a result of that, because of the sin that they have committed, then after repeated attempts, by the way, you're going to go to them a number of times and try to talk to them about those things and try to appeal to them and say, hey, listen, you really hurt me. You said this. Did you know that you said that? Did you know that it hurt me? Do you know that you sinned against me? If they don't want to listen to you after repeated attempts, then it says you go and get, Jesus said, go and get another person to go so that every fact may be confirmed and you confront them again, generally repeatedly again with the two or three people, okay? You keep the circle small, right? You don't spread it to a lot of people. You keep the circle small. And then if they don't listen to the two or three, then you have to share it with the church, especially if it's become a huge issue and it's become a problem within the body of Christ. So Jesus understood these principles. He wrote the scriptures. He is the Word of God, the embodiment of all the things that we see even in the book of Proverbs. And so he understood these things, and he knew that it's better to conceal a matter and seek love than to share it with everybody and repeat it. All right. Continues on in Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Oh, it is so true. You know what? That gossip is really, really juicy, isn't it? And there's just something about wanting to share that. Our sinful nature kicks in when we hear a good story and go, oh, I just have to tell that to somebody. At least we think that oftentimes. By the way, this same verse is repeated word for word in Proverbs 26 and verse 22. So obviously Solomon thought it needed to be reiterated and shared again later on as a memory aid probably and as a review. But these morsels, these dainty morsels, are things that are greedily devoured. What do you like to eat more than anything? What is the thing that you just love to pop in your mouth all the time and you have a hard time keeping away from your mouth? Anybody? You have something you really like?
Soft caramel candy.
Oh, yes. Soft caramel candy. Yes.
Teriyaki wings.
Oh, those are good. We've got some sweet and we got savory. What's that? Oh yeah, they're hard to stop. You know, it's like those potato chips. You know, once you pop them, you can't stop them. Yes,
Alfredo.
Chicken Alfredo.
Just my dad's Alfredo.
Just your dad's Alfredo. Okay, Karis, last one. Popcorners. Oh yeah, those are so good. Man, those are good. Those are dainty morsels, okay? Those are things that you greedily devour and have a hard time staying away from. The words of a whisperer are that same thing. You know, when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, do you know what Tom did? Let me tell you. That is a talebearer. That is a whisperer who is sharing a rumor. And boy, it is hard to not fall into that trap, isn't it? It's like a dainty morsel. Some people have lies told about them, though, and they never outlive their false reputation as a result of them. So we want to be careful about those things because they go down into the inmost parts of the body that is really hard to get rid of those tales, those stories, those slanders, those rumors, even if they're true. It becomes very difficult for them to get it out. It comes into the inmost parts of the body. All right, Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. And here's what you do with a person who is a secret talebearer or a secret sharer, reveals all these secrets and is has loose lips, so they oftentimes say. This is how you deal with a gossip. You stay away from them. Do not associate with a gossip. If you isolate the gossip and they can't, you don't listen to what they have to say, and when they come over and say, hey, you want to hear what Tom said? And you go, no, I don't. You know what? They'll go, oh, okay, I'll go tell somebody else. And they'll go tell somebody else. But if they go to somebody else and they say, hey, you want to hear what Tom did? And they say, no. Then guess what? They're isolated. And the very thing that they want to do is to tell everybody, and they can't do it. That's the best thing that could happen. It shuts the rumor down. If nobody spreads it, then nobody listens to it. And that's the whole point. Do not associate with a gossip. Just stay away from them and stay away from their gossip, and you will end it. All right. I love this one. And I've used this one with my children many times. Kids, you know this one pretty well, don't you? For the lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. When my kids are arguing with each other about something silly and goofy, this is the verse that I go to. Without fuel, the fire dies, is another translation that puts this. If you don't put wood on a fire or paper or anything on your fire, guess what? It burns out. Eventually, it goes out. It might take a while if it's a big fire, but eventually it will go out. The same thing is true with a rumor. Where there is no whisperer, contentions quiet down. In other words, if you're arguing with one another, if you stop arguing, if you drop the matter, then guess what will happen? The fire will die, the contention, the strife will go with it, and it'll no longer be there. So don't feed the rumor mill. Stay away from it. End it. You be the one that cuts it and says, no more, this isn't going anywhere else. Actually, what I like to do when I hear a rumor is I like to, if I hear it about somebody, I like to go to that person directly and say, hey, I'm not telling who told me this, but I want you to know that this is going around, that this is what happened. Is this true? And find out from directly from the source whether it is true or not. Okay? That will end a rumor mill really quickly as well, oftentimes. So we need to be careful with what we have to say. So that's slander and gossip. The third topic here that he mentions in Proverbs is hurtful talk. And you'll see some parallels, or you'll see some similarities here in some of these things. But he says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And here you have a contrast in this verse between somebody who is speaking rashly and somebody who is using their tongue wisely. There are two different outcomes that happen. And the imagery here is really great. Slashing with a sword. You can just picture somebody just taking a sword, and they're just swinging it. They have no control over it. They have no idea what they're doing. They're just swinging their sword, and they're cutting everything that is around them, including probably even their own soldiers. That's a problem. That's because they're doing it rashly, without any training, without any practice, without any thought to it. But the tongue of the wise, on contrast to that, brings healing. The tongue that of a wise person is able to share things that will help somebody, not hurt them. They're not going to say things rashly or just off of the top of their head, but they're going to think through what they're going to say so that what they say will bring healing to the situation. So we need to be careful not to use that hurtful speech, but healing speech as well. Proverbs 15:4, soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. So you have, again, a contrast between a soothing tongue and perversion. So a soothing tongue is going to be a tree of life. That is, it's going to produce fruit that are going to be good. It's going to be a tree that produces life and helps somebody, is encouraging to them. But perversion in that soothing tongue, if there's any inaccuracies, if there's any rumor that goes along with it, it can crush the spirit of that person that you're talking about. And that's what our words do, right? Our words are extremely powerful, and it can crush somebody's spirit. Many of you have probably seen in the news how many people, especially young people, are getting online, and they get into these chat rooms, and there's bullying that goes on, and they just start spreading rumors about people, and some kids have even committed suicide as a result of the rumors that have been spread about them and the hurtfulness that they have received. So we want to be a soothing tongue rather than a perverse tongue and causing issues and causing problems with people. Proverbs 16:27 says, "A worthless man digs up evil while his words are like a scorching fire." Here's another good, vivid example, the sword and also a scorching fire. It burns people, it hurts, and that's what words can often do, is hurt the people that they're talking about, and also even the person that is speaking about these things, especially when the truth has been found out. So Proverbs 25:23, "The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance." So again, the north wind brings forth cold, harsh rain, and a backbiting tongue brings about an angry countenance. You're going to hurt people. It's going to bring about, your countenance is your face. You know, you can tell somebody usually what a person is feeling many times by what is on their face. You just look at them, and if they're, you know, they're just sad, you know, you can see it in their face. If they're happy, that their countenance is a happy countenance. But a backbiting tongue, somebody spreading rumors about them, they're going to bring about an angry countenance, an angry face. All right. Proverbs 26:2. "Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight." It will not find a resting place, in other words. So if somebody shares something about somebody or curses somebody, it's not going to alight. It's not going to land on somebody and stay with them if it's not true. So there's some hope in that, an encouragement that eventually the truth will be found out, especially if there is a lie that is involved. But still, it's going to cause some hurt along the way. And so we need to be careful and watch over these things. All right. Now, let's sum all this stuff up, especially this first couple sections here, with what the New Testament says. How do we overcome this? What do we do when we're dealing with gossip these days and we're dealing with slander and hurtful talk, all of those things? The instruction that we have in the New Testament is from Ephesians 4:29 that is really helpful for us. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification," or the building up of somebody, "according to the need of the moment." Okay? So it's going to be a specific word at a specific point of time that speaks to that situation, that is going to build that person up so that it will give grace to those who hear. I love this. Again, this is one of those filters. Let's go through and think about what we're going to say. Is what I'm going to say, is it going to build somebody up or tear them down? Okay, it's going to build them up. That's good. Okay? Does it need to be said right now? Is it according to the need of the moment? Is this something that could be shared later on, or does it need to be shared right now? Okay, that's filter number two. Yes, it needs to be shared right now, so I'm going to share it. Or maybe I need to hold back and not say this at this moment. It would, even though it's true and it might build them up, maybe now is not the best time to say this. And the third filter, is it going to give grace to that person who is hearing? Are they going to be built up into their faith, and are they going to feel unmerited love and unmerited favor from me and also from God as a result of what I'm about to say. Wow, that's a great filter. If you can think through those three things before you say something in a positive sense, okay? I want to build somebody up. I want to do it at the right time. And I want it to give grace to those who are hearing. Notice, it's not giving grace to yourself or you feel good because you said it. It's giving grace to the person who is listening to what you were saying. That is the criteria that we want to follow. How are they going to respond to this? Will this give them grace? How will they hear this? That's how we speak to one another. Beautiful passage here about how to walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit and use our words correctly. All right, let's go back to Proverbs, another section here, another heading, quarreling. Quarreling. In the beginning of strife is like letting out of water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. This is another good one to use with your kids, especially parents, okay? The letting out of water, like a hole in the dam, okay? It's going to grow. That's the point. You know, you heard the story about the Dutchman who put his finger in the dike? You know why? Because he put it in there because he knew that if the water started seeping through, it's eventually going to be bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole thing lets out. So it is better to abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Is it really worth it? Even if it's a small thing. And this is good for even husbands and wives and family members and things like that, brothers and sisters. Is it worth quarreling about something very small? Because you know that that small thing is going to grow, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. If you don't just abandon it, it's going to break out, and it's going to be a much bigger problem and a much bigger quarrel. So just let it go. Forget about it. Get it out of there. Abandon it before it breaks out. All right, Proverbs 17:19. He who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction. So if you're quarreling with somebody and you're causing strife, if you're somebody who loves transgression, you love sin, and you don't want to be like that. So we want to avoid that type of speech. We want to avoid that way to go, that quarreling. Just drop the matter and get away from it. Stop it as soon as you possibly can. Whoop. All right, Proverbs 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Do you want to be honorable? Do you want to be somebody who is looked up upon as somebody who is honorable, then keep away from that strife, the causing of division, quarreling with one another, because any fool can quarrel. That's what fools do. They love to quarrel. They love to find fights to get into and find discussions to get into the whole purpose is just to quarrel and to cause conflict and to cause problems with one another. We don't want to be like that either. We want to keep away from that type of strife. All right, Proverbs 22, verse 10. Drive out the scoffer and contentions will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. And in the context here, it's talking about a kingdom with a king. If a king has a scoffer in his midst, it's better to get rid of that person. And all of the strife and all of the dishonor and everything like that will cease when you get rid of the scoffer, the person who is speaking and saying things that they ought not to say and hurting people like that and quarreling with people. Proverbs 26:21, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And here that same metaphor is used here of fire and of building a fire and the fuel that is involved with it. A contentious man, somebody who loves to fight with people, loves to contend with people, are going to continually stir up those embers and put more fuel on the fire. You know, you might be in a situation where you're talking with somebody and you want to make a point, and you know that what you're going to say is going to cause further discussion or further problems, but you can't help yourself sometimes, right? And you just put it out there, and you know you're going to have another half hour of discussion about this if you say this. That's putting fuel on the fire. You don't want to be able to do that. You want to hold that back and get rid of that strife. All right. Lying. We're going to go through these pretty quickly, because there's a bunch of them. But lying is a huge problem, and this is the basis of all of these other things as well. Lying is momentary. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. The truth will come out eventually, even if it's at the judgment seat of God. When it does come out, the benefits of lying, even if there are any, evaporate. It's not worth it. It's not worth lying. 21 verse 6. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. You can't help but talk about, maybe a used car salesman who's not very, very forthcoming. You know, hey, this vehicle, you know, has it been in any accidents? Oh, no. It's a perfectly running vehicle. This is a great vehicle. Not a problem with it anywhere. And they're lying about it. It'll be found out eventually. You're going to make money off lying to somebody? It's a fleeting vapor, and it is the pursuit of death. It also grieves God. Lying grieves God. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Do you want to delight the Lord? Then say things that are good, say things that are truthful, and you will be a delight to the Lord. Lying lips, lying is an abomination to God. There are a few things that are just so heinous to God because they cause such destruction and such problems, and lying is one of those. We don't often think of that, but lying is huge in the eyes of God as something that is abominable. All right, and also lying has consequences to it. We see the consequences of lying. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. If you're not watching over your tongue, you're not watching what you're saying, and you're not saying what is truthful, you're going to fall into evil. It's going to be difficult, and you're going to have a lot of troubles in your life as a result of those things. Back to Ephesians chapter 5 to get some perspective on this. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That's the instruction that Paul gives to us in the New Testament. That filthiness, even silly talk, you know, just talk that has no meaning to it, has no value to it. It's just filling the air with voices. It's just a silly talk, okay? Or coarse jesting, telling bad jokes. I mean bad, not just that they're not funny jokes, but I mean that they're actually bad jokes in that they're evil jokes, or they have innuendo involved with them, or they are coarse because they're talking about things that you don't normally want to talk about in company of other people. They're just not fitting. When you want to be careful about sharing those type of things and sharing those jokes. But instead, we want to give thanks. A false witness, Proverbs 19:5, will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. And again, this is in the context of a kingdom, especially for kings. In this part of Proverbs, they won't go unpunished. Ultimately, in God's kingdom, they won't go unpunished as well. It is worse than poverty. Lying is worse than even being poor. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. And again, you're doing a comparison here in this verse, and it is what is good and what is better. and what is bad and what is worse. And it is worse to be a liar than anything else. So we don't want to be sharing lies with one another. Final, this section, it's number 6, the power of the tongue. So we've seen some of these other topics that Solomon has put in here, but here's the power of the tongue as well. Because the tongue truly is a powerful organ, or muscle, I should say. What we say, anyway, is very powerful. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it, that is, those who love to talk in a wrong way, will eat of its fruit. They're going to have that come back on them eventually. Again, even if it's at the judgment seat of God, they will receive recompense for the things that they say. But death and life are in the tongue. Now, especially again in a kingdom sense, you know, Solomon was a king, and he was giving instruction to probably the young nobles and his sons, one of them might become king someday. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, especially if you go into court in a court situation and you lie in court. In the kingdom, the Israeli kingdom at that time, the theocracy of God, that could have ended your life if you lied in court openly and it was found out. And those who love its fruit, love it, will eat its fruit. They just love talking, and they love being the one that has all of the information and sharing things, whether it's true or not. They're going to eat its fruit. So you don't want to be like that. And again, let's close up with the instruction that we receive from the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Here we go. How do we overcome this? What do? We don't want to be liars. We don't want to lie. We don't want to start quarrels. We don't want to do all of these things, use slander, any of those things. So what do we do? Let's leave on a positive note, okay? We don't want to say the wrong thing. Now, how do we counteract this, and how do we say what is right? Well, the Apostle Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. So you put off the old man, and that's really, in the context of Ephesians, that's what Paul is talking about. You have the old man in its sinfulness. Before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you did all of these things. You were a slanderer, you were angry, you had all of these things. But Paul says, put off that old man, put off those things, and put on the new man. Instead of saying those things, what we should do is put on the positive. Replace those bad things with those things that which are good. Put away with those things with all malice, that is, a presupposed anger towards somebody is a malice. You just want to hurt them. You want them to suffer. You want them to be hurt. You want to get rid of that and get away from that. Instead, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. And this is, again, written to the church specifically. You mean there is quarrels and there is gossip and there are lying that goes on in church? Unfortunately, yes. Remember, we're believers. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we're still sinners, aren't we? We still have a sinful nature in us that oftentimes rears its ugly head, and we cause problems even as believers in Jesus Christ. But he says instead of doing those things that you used to do before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, instead, be kind to one another. Have a tender heart towards one another. In other words, you got a fellow believer, you want to have a presupposition that you want to help that and that you love that person. You're tender-hearted. Oh, okay, they said something that hurt me, but I'm not going to immediately assume that they dislike me or that they're trying to hurt me by what they said. I'm going to have a tender heart towards them and go to them and try to find out what the problem is. Okay? Forgiving one another. This is a great way to overcome strife, quarreling, lying, especially if you've been lied, somebody has lied about you. Forgiving one another. Once the situation has been confronted, if somebody has lied about you, you go to that person, say, hey, what you said, that was a lie. That's not true about me at all. Why would you say something like that? And they say, oh, I didn't realize that. Please forgive me. And then it comes to the part to the person who's been lied against, and they say, okay, I will forgive you. I will choose not to hold this sin against you. I will choose not to do that. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Oh boy, that makes it really hard too, doesn't it? Because how much has God forgiven you? Everything. Everything. Do you mean that I have to forgive my brother or sister in Christ everything, just like God forgave me for everything? Yes. But you don't know what they did to me. You don't know the lies that they shared about me. You don't know the slander and the quarreling and the rumors that they spread about me. It doesn't matter. We are to forgive each other as Christ also forgave us. Ouch. That's hard. But that's what we're supposed to do. That is having kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiving towards one another. That's the way that we're supposed to respond as Spirit-led believers in Jesus Christ. That's what we will do. All right? So let me challenge you with that. Be kind to one another in your home. Husbands, wives, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted towards one another. Don't have a presupposition that they're out to hurt you. Don't have a presupposition that they have it out. They really want to do something towards you, or that they said that intentionally to hurt you. Don't do that. That's not being tender-hearted towards one another. Kids, brothers and sisters in a family, be kind to one another, tender-hearted towards each other. Don't quarrel with each other. Forgive each other. And in the larger context of a church, brethren, we are to forgive one another. We're to be kind to each other when there's problems that will crop up, and there will be problems that will crop up. We are sinful beings. Even in a church, we're going to say things that hurt each other. Maybe not intentionally, maybe even intentionally. But we need to be willing to be kind to each other and to be able to forgive one another and have that tender heart towards one another as well. Will you commit yourself to being careful with your tongue, to having this kind of attitude that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 4 toward one another? Make that commitment today, I pray, and ask you to do that. All right. We're going to have a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to watch our tongues. I pray that we know how dangerous the tongue can be, how destructive it can be, and we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to quarrel. We don't want to spread rumors. We don't want to lie. We don't want to say hurtful things towards one another. But we want to say what is good. We want to say what is kind. We want to say what will give grace to those who are listening to us, something that will build them up and strengthen them in their faith. Help us to always say that and to be looking for the right things to say at the right moment. Help us to use those filters that we talked about as well, and to think about what we're about to say and think it through before we say it, and not be slashing around like rashly, somebody with a sword rashly just stabbing at the air. Help us with these things because we need your Spirit, we need your guidance to be able to obey these truths and do these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.